You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio, in association with EDC, is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are with Greg Hollis, President and CEO of Trinity Protection Services, with a mission to provide state-of-the-art physical security services for commercial and residential entities, city, state, and federal governments. Greg, welcome once again to Enterprise Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So for those that missed the last broadcast, can you tell our audience about your company and what you do and how you got started?
Yes. We're Trinity Protection Services. And as you said, we provide, we like to say, quality or premium security services to the federal government, commercial agencies, as well as residential. And the security encompasses everything from guys with guns to alarm equipment, access control, DVRs, cameras, and the like. We've been in business now 12 years. We are located in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, although we'd like to say we have a national footprint, as we have contracts throughout the country, including California, New Mexico, Illinois, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, Florida currently, to provide quality security services to our clients.
That's outstanding. What made you want to start your own company?
Excellent question. What made me want to start my own company? Basically, I spent a lot of years in the mortgage business, and I just did well. The mortgage business treated me really well, but whenever I was not working, I was not getting paid, and I wanted to start something that could actually generate income for myself and for my family, and something that I could leave as a legacy to my kids, and I just wanted to do that. So having said that, why security? And it came totally out of nowhere. I was looking for an opportunity, and I did not know it was going to be in security. I had a friend and a friend of a friend who had another who had someone in the business who sort of brought me into the business and taught me a little bit about the business, and we partnered. He's since moved on some 10 years ago, and I just have grown the business over the last, as I said, 10 or 12 years.
What's some of the best advice that someone has given you as you have started your own new business, which now it's 12 years old, but back then when you were getting started?
Well, I think what is some advice someone's given me, and that holds true, and I see it better now than I did 10 years ago, and that advice is no one is going to tend to your business the way you will. We've got some very dedicated employees, but when the rubber meets the road, all of those employees can actually say, today, I'm done. I'm going somewhere else. I found another opportunity. I'd like to plant my own flag and do something on my own. And they leave without fiduciary responsibility. But you have, as the owner, and in this case me, have the complete responsibility for the business and how it runs and where it goes, how it ends, if it ends. And so that advice given to me, no one is going to take care of your business the way you will, that still rings in my ear today, because I see things that happen in my business, and I think if that person had taken just a little more care, but then it's not their business, and they're not going to take the care that the owner would. So that's probably the best advice that rings true to me today.
So, tagging on to that, what were some of the challenges that you faced in the early days, and how did you and your business overcome those?
Well, the challenges, I think, evolve, and they don't end in a business. And some of the early day challenges that we faced, and we face probably as many, if not more, today, but they're different, and they evolve. So, for instance, when we're first starting out, one of the biggest challenges is, how and where do we get business? How do we find business? We're not a known entity to virtually anybody. How do you focus and find the business? And then once you find that business, some of the early challenges is how do I find talent that helps me both operate that business and help me move the company to the next level as we get more business. So those are some of those are some challenges that don't go away, but then some of the more complexities that happen as you go along, vis-a-vis, you know, how you keep that ball rolling, how you keep that business going. But the early challenges of how do we find that business, how do we make ourselves known, how do we cut into a market and become a known entity in that market so that we can leverage that, those are some of the early challenges.
How did you learn how to become a successful entrepreneur and CEO, and was it simply trial by error, or did you have a mentor just learn things from your previous job experiences that helped make you to become the successful entrepreneur and CEO that you are today?
I think all of those things help us. So I like to say trial and terror. So we've for myself, have become experienced at things. And, you know, I used to have a grandfather who used to say, and it didn't dawn on me until maybe 5-6 years after I got into the business, he'd always say, there's no substitute for experience. There's no substitute for experience. And there actually is not. If you examine those words, I don't care how you draw it up, I don't care how you tee it up, when you go out to actually do it, there's no substitute for experience. And so that's one of the things that you have to allow yourself is to make mistakes. I have a refrigerator magnet that basically says success is about the ability to go from failure to failure without the loss of enthusiasm. And so you cannot, you know, don't let your highs get too high when you win a large contract or you sell a large product or whatever your business is. And don't let your lows get too low. If you lose a customer or lose a product or lose some money, you just have to keep putting one step forward and one step in front of the other and continue. And that's been our recipe for success, that whatever we're facing, whatever goes on, we still endure. We still exist. We don't curl up and go away. If we make a mistake with a client, we sit down with that client, we fix it, and we move forward. If things happen really, really great, we don't just, you know, go on vacation. We take a lesson from the success as well as we take a lesson from the failure, and we move the company forward.
Many times the general public takes security for granted, but it's a job that the professionals take seriously every day in the field. What's the training process like for your workers and the folks that you hire? What do you do to recruit, and how do you train your employees who are on the front lines every day securing the public, providing safety, and doing their job?
That's an excellent question. We have a training school, TPS Academy, and we train our individual officers to tailor what the client's needs are. So whether it's a large Department of Defense contract where we're going to put them through 140 hours of training and they have to come with some base of knowledge, or whether we're putting them on a local county or commercial contract and we just need to put them in 40 hours of training with some touch-up on the job, we tailor that training through our school, TPS Academy. And in that school, there's a gamut. There's not just the technical aspects of how do you, you know, operate this weapon, how do you use this weapon, how do you use a baton, how do you use a 9mm, but also how do you speak with the client, with the public, with a potential threat. There's threat elevation levels, and we don't need to get too technical about it, too esoteric, but we teach people how to communicate with people, and that's the very first thing. You can diffuse a lot of trouble just in your mannerisms, not just in your verbal inflection, but the way you physically posture yourself. So we teach all those things in our academy, and it's pretty nuanced. It gets pretty nuanced. It's pretty fun, and hopefully our officers learn. We also have that. We also have annual and semi-annual refresher training. We also have on-the-job trainers where our QC, our quality control personnel, will come around to various sites and provide on-the-spot, on-the-job training and on-the-job testing to make sure that our officers retain knowledge and it's available at recall for any particular situation.
Today we're joined by Greg Hollis, President and CEO of Trinity Protection Services, with a mission to provide state-of-the-art physical security services for commercial and residential entities, city, state, and federal governments here on Enterprise Radio in association with EDC, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Greg, what are some of the challenges that you face in the security field on a day-to-day basis?
I think the biggest challenge we faced is sort of what the military faces is just readiness fatigue. That's the first one internally, because in an environment that's secure, the last thing in a perfect environment, the last thing those who are protected actually observe and feel is security, because if security's doing their job, if things are going well, you just don't notice them. And sure, you may walk into a building and have to show your badge in the morning. And sure, you may, leave out in the afternoon and someone may ask you about, some data that you're carrying. But other than that, though, it should be very quiet. So teaching our officers how to stay alert in that environment, how to stay on point with the security and the readiness, that's one of the things, that's one of the nuances that some companies who have been around a long time. We came into this, like I said, 12 years ago. We were talking right around the 9/11, right before that. And so some companies who have been in business 10, 20 years, they never really caught on to the seriousness of how to train and maintain your security individuals to a point where they're ready 100% of the time. And that's what we work on. We work on that constantly. So those are some of the challenges that are presented to our officers, our supervision, our quality control staff, and our management team, so that we are ready if our client needs us.
How about giving our listeners an example or two where your security team was put to the test by some incident that occurred and how your team handled that, if you would?
Sure. I can give you several. I'll give you a couple. We were guarding a courthouse in Sacramento, and this is 5 o'clock in the morning, and we have outside patrols as well as inside patrols. We're at that facility 24 hours, and one of our officers discovered an incendiary device at 5 o'clock in the morning. His alertness, his experience, allowed him to contact the right contact people for that particular contract. As it turned out, that device was set to go off, and they had the bomb squad come, and it was a big deal at that courthouse, saved a lot of lives. We were acknowledged by Janet Napolitano. And that particular officer was awarded a commendation because we certainly saved lives in that instance.
Getting back on the business track, what advice do you have to the listener who may be considering in starting their own business and becoming a future entrepreneur, whether it be in the security industry or outside?
My advice, well, as I'm an entrepreneur, I would like to say this. My advice, my first advice would be three words: go for it. It's exhilarating. There's no feeling like it. And so my first advice would be: go for it. Roll up your sleeves, figure out what you'd like to do, and go for it. I hear other individuals talk about doing what you love, and find something you love that you do for free and do it. I just say if you feel you're an entrepreneur, you have an entrepreneurial spirit, do it. There are others. One of my best friends says, "Hey, Greg, I'll never do what you do. I do, I like the comfort of working for somebody. I like the comfort of getting that paycheck and not, having to feel like I got to worry about the bottom line. I need to take care of things." He's a project manager a senior property manager, and a very successful one. And so if you just want to do it for the money, if you think there's, you don't have a drive to do it, then perhaps that's not you. But if you think you have an entrepreneurial spirit, you owe it to yourself to try. And when you do it, I go back to the basics of don't let your highs get too high nor your lows get too low. Put one foot in front of the other. Learn. There's no substitute for experience. You'll have to go through some things, and you'll have to look back. And if someone showed me a video, and I'd never been in this business, and they showed me a video of the last 12 years, and they say, "Hey, Greg, here's what you're going to have to go through. You're going to be successful." I would doubt that I'd do it, because you just don't. Looking at something and say, you may not want the hassle, but once you're involved, and if you like to learn, and if you like building something, you just have to go for it. So that's my advice. Just go for it and seek advice. I've had several mentors throughout my life. I've had people who were mentors, and they didn't even know they were my mentors, because one aspect, I needed their advice on something, and I'd come to them about one aspect of my business. I didn't expect them to know everything about my business. But I say, go for it. And you have to also pick a staff that loves what they do. Pick a staff. You have to put maybe some of you have heard the terms, you put the right seats, on the bus. And you have to be able to pick the right personnel for your business that helps drive your business, if I'm making sense there.
It certainly does make sense to me. Now, how important was your support from family, friends, and professionals when you started your business some 12 years ago?
Excellent question. Another excellent question. How important was it? I honestly have to say not very. Because I got to tell you, as I said, I was in the mortgage business, and I did well. I got out of college and went into the mortgage business, and I stayed almost 18 years. And I found this other opportunity. I said, "Mom, I'm going into the security business." And my own dear mother said, "No, you're kidding. Don't do that. You have a wonderful career." So, and I respect my mom a lot. And I said, "No, I know, Mom, it's probably not as exciting." And at the time, security wasn't. But now I tell you, it's absolutely more exciting than the mortgage business. But I had the support of family, friends, but it wasn't as important for them to support me as for me to see a clear vision of my path, of what I wanted to do. So I wasn't going to let anybody dissuade me. So I wasn't going to let somebody else tell me, "No, what you're doing is crazy, what you're thinking is crazy." I had to listen to my inner voice and go with my hunch. And because at the end of the day, I'm going to live or die with my decisions. And I am the type of person who can live or die on my own decisions. What I cannot do, what it would eat me alive to do, is to allow someone else to kill my dream and steal my dream and tell me I can't do it, because I would sit somewhere and it would fester and eat at me that I never gave it a try. So that's why, and a point to your prior question about my advice, my first advice is, if you have an entrepreneurial spirit, go for it. And don't let anybody tell you anything different.
And when you were building your own business, how were you able to gain the trust and confidence of the different federal government agencies that you work with on a daily basis?
It took a while. As I said, I didn't know anybody in government. I didn't know any. I didn't know how to do the business. I had to learn, and we had to go step by step. It took a lot of meetings. The government, especially if you want to do business with the government, and I don't care what it is you're doing, the government is the largest consumer of products and services on the planet, our United States government. And it doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're selling security services or mortgage services or paper clips or anything, accounting services. And what you have to do is find out those procurement offices that handle your product or your service. They're willing to meet with you. It's a lot of time and a lot of effort. They're willing to go in and talk to you come and allow you to come in and talk to them and get some insight as to those things you need to have for your particular product and service. And then you just you get one particular person who's interested and knows your calls and knows, and you will find, no matter what stage of the business you're at, you'll find people in government who want to help. They'll see you as a fresh new face. They've dealt with all the old face, and here comes a newcomer, and they'll point you to someone else who will point you to someone else who will point you to someone who finally gives you a shot at your business. And now you have several people, you've gone through several faces and opportunities and meetings, and they see you start to perform, and they start to trust you more, and you start to build your business from there. But you have to take that first step, and you have to be able to go in and sit down and hear what a person says and come away understanding that you have no business. It has not helped your bottom line today, but you're building for your bottom line in the future. You have to be able to understand that. It is not a fee for services. You're not going in to talk to the government and they're going to write you a check today. You're building your business. You have to have that understanding when you go in.
Yeah, it's a great aspect and perspective for sure. In conclusion, where do you hope to take Trinity Protection Services in the next few years? Where do you see the company growing in the future?
We are currently doing business in about 5 or 6 states, and we're licensed in 23. We get licensed ahead of our business. We're licensed in about 23 states. I would like to see, over the next 10 years, Trinity doing business in every state in the union, including Alaska and Hawaii. That's my goal. I'd like to see us operating in all of the states.
And why not? Tell our listeners where they can get more information about Trinity Protection Services online, if you would.
Absolutely. TrinityProtection.com. That's T-R-I-N-I-T-Y Protection.com. And our school is TPS Academy. That's as in Trinity Protection Services, TPS, Tom Percy Sutherland, TPSacademy.com. And our calendar's on there. It talks about all of our classes, when they happen, the prices, and we have podcasts on there as well so that you can learn something about security. We also have a newsletter. You can sign up for that, Trinity Protection Services.
Definitely good stuff. We've been speaking with Greg Hollis, President and CEO of Trinity Protection Services, with a mission to provide state-of-the-art physical security services for commercial and residential entities, city, state, and federal governments. And the websites of reference is TrinityProtection.com, as well as the Academy. It's TPSAcademy.com. Greg, thanks so much for joining us again here on Enterprise Radio, and continued success to you and the company.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, and this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio in association with EDC, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.